Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Memorial Day Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, May the 23rd, 2014. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on How the Enemy Gets Ground. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
So, if we want to get over anger, we've got to dismantle the hot wire. It is attached to an idol. It says, I'll heap misfortunes on them because of idolatry. I'll use my arrows on them. They will be wasted with famine and consumed by plague and bitter destruction. The teeth of beasts and demons I'll send upon them with the venom of crawling things out of the dust outside of the sword. There it is. The wicked is God's sword. The sword will bereave and in inside terror, which means the idol's a boogie bear. I'm scared to death because I think I have to give it up. Both young men and virgins, the nursing and the man with gray hair. Lamentation talks about the harlot. The whole book of Lamentations is about the harlot, the spiritual adulterer, those who've made covenant with God but have forsaken his covenant. In Lamentations 2:3, in fierce anger he has cut off the strength of Israel. He has drawn back his right hand from before the enemy, and he has burned in Jacob like a flaming fire, consuming round about. He has bent his bow like an enemy. He has set his right hand like an adversary. Did Jesus say he's coming like a thief? He's not the thief, but he's coming like a thief. What does that mean? He's going to loose upon the harlot church demons that are going to come out of the pit, says that in Revelation. In verse 5, the Lord has become like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up Israel. I thought the devil swallowed you up. And then verse 7, read the whole chapter, but read 7. The Lord has rejected his altar, which is those who are rebellious. He has abandoned his sanctuary. He has delivered into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They made a noise in the house of the Lord as in the day of an appointed feast. The Lord determined to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. Is that the church member? He has stretched out a line. He has not restrained his hand from destroying, and he has caused rampart and wall to lament. They have languished together. Her gates have sunk into the ground. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes and among the nations. The law is no more. Also, her prophets find no vision from the Lord. It's Jeremiah 23 says they have a vision of their own imagination. If they would say what I say, God said in Jeremiah 23, that my people will repent of their sin. That's what it says. Lamentations 2:16, all your enemies have opened their mouths wide against you. They hiss and gnash their teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Surely this is the day for which we waited. We have reached it. We have seen it. The Lord has done what he purposed. He has accomplished his word, which he commanded from days of old. He has thrown down without sparing. He has caused the enemy to rejoice over you. He has exalted the midst of your. He has exalted the might of your enemies. Over and over in the prophets, the Bible warns you obey, and God blesses you. You disobey, and you get cursed by the sword, by demons, by desolation, by a spirit of trembling. All kinds of judgment comes because of sin. Torment comes because of sin. And that's just a few places. I mean, it's all over the Word of God when you finally see it. And then we read in Acts that there was a warning that we better be on guard because of the things spoken of in the prophets. You know, when a king or leader would take over Israel, and they would get rid of their idols and start worshiping God and doing right, God blessed them. But the minute they got into idolatry, God let the enemy get them. And see, that's the only thing that's going to protect you and I in these days, is walking uprightly before the Lord. Because the wicked is God's sword. The enemy, he uses to correct. And so there's going to be a lot of people shocked in these last days. It's going to be too late to get your life right. But hopefully it won't, in the midst of all of it. Go to Psalms 107, please. Let me just tell you what it says. It says, prisoners in misery and chains because they were fools, because they were prisoners in misery and chains because they had rebelled against the Lord. I go to Psalms 107. I'll just go ahead and read it. Psalms 107. When my youngest son was about 18 years old, I read this and I thought, this is him. Lived a homosexual lifestyle. You know, I had two sons. Kyle was always obedient, kept his life pure, and the other son was into sexual sin by the time he was 3 years old, into homosexual sin. And it'll send you to hell. But praise God, he's going to heaven because he repented. Psalms 107, verse 10. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of the God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their heart with labor. You know, there are some of you here right now that God is humbling your heart through labor because of sin. And it's not to discourage you or because God hates you. It's because he loves you. He's pointing things out to you because he wants to set you free. But the days of half-step and being a fence rider, 1 foot in the world and trying to have 1 foot with God, let me tell you, it doesn't work. It'll get you killed. In fact, when I was ministering to a girl who had been into Satanism, she would tell me a lot of things they did. And they would know if somebody was a fence rider. Because the demons know who they can curse. They also know that they better not curse because the curses come back on them. And we're not afraid that curses go on people and kill them, but I can just see if you send a curse back and it's, that's a demonstration in their presence, it might scare the pants off. Right? So it's better to do that. And pray for their salvation. God loves them too. It says in verse 14, Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And that's crying out to the Lord, not crying out to people. It's okay to ask people to help you, and people want to do that. But they cried out to the Lord. And some of you just need to have a personal relationship with Jesus where you get in his presence and cry out to him. They cried out to the Lord, and then it says, He brought them out of darkness. You see, under God's refuge is light. Walking in the light is he's in the light. Because you step outside of God's refuge and you're walking in darkness under the shadow of death. There's the shadow of the Almighty and there's a shadow of death. Brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their rebellion and because of their iniquity, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death, tormented, can't sleep. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses, and he sent his word to heal them. Repent over the word. You want the greatest deliverance? Just do a word study on whatever your problem is. You know, when I have a problem, I say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? And I deal with whatever he shows me. And then if it doesn't go away, I get in the word and look up the body part or the symptom, and I begin to repent over the word. I've seen so many miracles in my life by doing that. Because He sent His Word to heal you. He didn't send folks to heal you. He sent His Word to heal you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I want you to see that the wrath of God is carried out by the powers of darkness. Go to 1 Chronicles 21, 1 through 14. 1 Chronicles 21, 1 through 14. And I want you to hold your Bible like this in both places and then go to 2 Samuel. But don't lose your place. 2 Samuel 24, 1. 2 Samuel 24, 1. And hold your Bible like this, because I want you to see the same story. Oh, goodness, I lost my place. 1 Chronicles 21. Okay, hold your Bible like this. I want you to see that the wrath of God is carried out by the powers of darkness. And there's things that bring God's wrath, brings His anger, sexual sin, occult, idolatry, breaking God's covenant. Okay, the verse. Let's read first in 1 Chronicles 21. Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. You see, it says Satan stood up. It's the same story in 2 Samuel 21. You know the story where David numbered Israel and God brought judgment upon Israel because he numbered Israel. And I don't know what the point of that was, except one thing is probably a pride thing, numbering about how many people he had. And it could be other reasons. And then look over in 2 Samuel 24:1. Now it says in 1 Chronicles 21, Satan stood up and moved David to number Israel. And then in 2 Samuel 21, it says, now the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and it, the anger of the Lord, incited David against them, saying, go number Israel and Judah. So the wrath of God, wherever you see the wrath of God, is always carried out by the powers of darkness. Colossians 3:5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it's because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 5:3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, you know, 60% of church members say nothing of sleeping around, shacking up. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let not it be named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Let no man deceive you with these vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Be not ye partakers with them. You know, Carla taught a great message last night on this session, but it also says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, don't let anybody deceive you, that no sexually immoral person, no adulterer, no fornicator, no reviler, no slanderer, well, into the kingdom of heaven unless he repents. And of course, we've all been some of those things, different ones, different things, but we've got to repent. That means we turn and don't do them anymore. And then the tree cutters are the power of the tree cutters are the power of darkness. It says in Matthew 7, every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Go to Jeremiah 46, please, and I want you to see there's other scriptures too, but that the tree cutters are the powers of darkness. Jeremiah 46. If you're not producing fruit for the Lord, the tree cutters are going to cut you down. And producing fruit's not growing fruit trees is produced in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, which is the character and nature of Jesus as you deny yourself. You may think, well, I'm a fruitless person, but you walk in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Hey, you're producing fruit. It's the character and nature. The fruit is the character and nature of Jesus produced in you as you die to your flesh. Okay, Jeremiah 46. Verse 19, it says, make your baggage ready for exile, O daughter dwelling in Egypt. That's the words you worldly church member. For Memphis will become a desolate. And I don't know what Memphis means. It will even be burned down and bereft of inhabitants. Egypt is a pretty heifer, but a horsefly coming from the north is coming. And of course, if you do a word study on Northern Army, it's the powers of darkness. Also, her mercenaries in her midst are like fatted calves, for even they too have turned back and have fled away together. They did not stand their ground, for the day of their calamity has come upon them. The time of their punishment, its sound moves along like a serpent, for they move on like an army and come to her as woodcutters with axes. They have cut down her forest, declares the Lord. You see, each of us are trees according to Psalms 1 and 1. This is a whole forest of people. And they've cut down her trees with axes. And they've come to be as woodcutters with axes. They have cut down her trees, her forest, declares the Lord. Surely will no more be found, even though they are now more numerous than locusts. Also, the locust is a type of demons in Joel's army. It says they run on the city and leap on the walls. And most people, there was a song years ago in the 70s that was God's army marching. It's a marching of demons because they climb in the windows. I don't know if you remember that song. It was Big John Hall sang that song. And I remember telling him one day, I said, you know that's an army of demons, not an army of Christians. But you just read it. You read it real close and you see it couldn't be an army of people. Okay, go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 3. And it will be in the day when the... Somebody read that for me. Kyle, will you read that for me? 14:3. You want to go up here, somebody? Therefore they can hear it here.
And it will be in the day when the Lord gives you rest from your pain and turmoil and harsh service in which you have been enslaved, that you will take up this song against the king of Babylon and say, how the oppressor has ceased, how fury has ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers, which used to strike the peoples in fury with unceasing strokes, which subdued the nations in anger and under strength persecution. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into shouts of joy. Even the cypress trees rejoice over you and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were laid low, no tree cutter comes up against us. Sheol from beneath is excited over you.
Okay, you see the trees get happy because no tree cutter. And it goes back and talks about the king of Babylon, which is also another type of Satan. And in Jeremiah 51, it says, he swallowed me down. He gulped me down like a monster. Anyway, it says, we know that the whole earth is not at rest yet, but that there's going to come a day when it will be at rest and fury will cease and the trees will be happy. The whole earth will be at rest. They break forth into shouts of joy. Even the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since you, king of Babylon, have been laid low, no tree cutter comes up against us. You see that? So the tree cutters are the powers of darkness. And we're almost through. I'm trying to go fast. How long have I been up here? Okay, good. Okay. In Proverbs 24:1, it says, I passed by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and the hedge was down, and the garden was completely overgrown with thistles. And it says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your want will come like a robber, like an armed man. Luke 13:5-9 talks about the Lord. Well, go to Luke 13:9. I'm going a little bit long, but it's important to see these scriptures, because if you're like me, you see it in the Word, you can believe it. And it has to be in the Word, or you won't believe it. Okay, Luke 13:6. And he began telling this parable, Jesus, a certain man had a vineyard which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it. He couldn't find any fruit, so the vineyard keeper said, cut it down, and the vineyard owner said, cut it down, and the vineyard keeper said, well, just leave it alone, sir, let me dig around it and add fertilizer and water it, and then next year, if it doesn't produce, then cut it down. So God keeps giving us chances to produce fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, otherwise we get cut down. Go to Isaiah chapter 5, please. Verse 1, let me sing now for my well-beloved, a song of my well-beloved. He had a vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill, and he dug all around it, and we just read that in Luke 13, removed all its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it, and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to produce good grapes, but it only produced worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, judge between me and my vineyard. In other words, I've already given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. What more was there to do for my vineyard than I have not done for it? Everything pertaining to life and godliness, he died for us. Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge. Now, when a garden has no fence around it, guess what gets in it? Rabbits and vermins. Demons in concerning us. I will break down its wall, and it will become trampled ground. And I'll lay a waste, and it will not be pruned or hoed. So see, God's pruning you and hoeing you, so that's a good sign you're going to produce fruit. Right? He says, I'm not going to prune you. When I take down the hedge, I'm not going to prune you and hoe you. And I'm not going to let no rain on you. But briars and thorns will come up, and I will charge the clouds to rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. That's us. And the men of Judah, his delightful plant. Thus he looked for justice, but behold bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold a cry of distress. You know what that word distress means in modern day terms? Stress. It's a cry of distress. It's so sad for me to see people that are under a cry, are living in distress. And you have an answer for them, but they won't receive it. It's grievous. But that's God's problem and not ours. We just have to do what the Lord lets us do. Anyway, so God takes down the hedge, and he don't prune you, he don't hoe you, just thorns and thistles come up, no fruit. So this really ties in with John 15. He says, if you abide in me, you're going to produce much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And he said, I'm going to prune you and I'm going to hoe you. So the fact we're getting pruned and hoed and God's working on us, it's a good sign that we're on the right track. It's when he doesn't prune you and hoe you and rain the rain of the Holy Spirit on you. You know, we should be just content with God's presence. Because God's big enough to do whatever he wants to do in our lives. So we get swallowed up when we're not under God's refuge. He dwells in the secret place of the Most High God, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty. You step outside of that shadow, and you're in Satan's territory. Ecclesiastes 10:8. He who digs a pit will fall in it, and a serpent may bite him who breaks through a wall. Because when the hedge is down, my friend Milton Green used to say, hedge down, sickle. You walk in, guys, you walk in obedience, you have the hedge up. You get into sin, the hedge comes down, and it's sickle. God's not sticking the demons. You're moving, not God. God's here with His refuge, and He gives an invitation and His grace for you to submit to Him. But if you want to walk out there, sick him. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways are pleasing the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. The other day I was thinking, you know, this, we all have difficult people in our life, but I was thinking, maybe it's me. God, man, duh, maybe it's me. My ways are not, I told my friend Laurie, I said, you know, maybe my ways are not pleasing the Lord because the enemy's not at peace with me in this area. And I tell you, this was Saturday before the last seminar, and I repented all the way to the seminar. The Lord showed me this person was treating me exactly like my mother treated me. Exactly. So now the solution is, I don't see this person as the person that's the problem. I see this as God showing me something else. I need to, when I see something negative from now on in this particular person, I'm going to say, Lord, that's the next thing you want me to forgive my mother for. See what I'm saying? So the difficult people in your life, ask God what He's trying to show you, because if your ways are pleasing the Lord, you're going to be at peace in that area. That's a good marriage verse. Because, you know, I've forgiven my mother for everything I could think of, but I just got a huge revelation of the life of this person and my mother were identical. Even down to my mother only sleeping 3 hours a night. And I'm telling you that not to put down anybody, but to say we all have difficult people in our life. And most marriage problems is that we're just, it's mother and daddy issues we don't even see. And we all have them. Psalms 41:11, by this I know that you're pleased with me because my enemies not shouting triumph over me. God doesn't want the devil to beat you up. Proverbs 11:9, through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. Proverbs 11:8, the righteous is delivered out of trouble, but the wicked come instead. Proverbs 11:6, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but the transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Psalms 41:12, as for me, you uphold me in my integrity, and you set me in your presence forever. Proverbs 10:9, he who walks in integrity walks securely. Proverbs 28:18, he who walks blamelessly will be delivered, but he who's crooked will fall at once. Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. Proverbs 15:10, stern discipline is for him who forsakes the way. Proverbs 13:6, righteousness guards the one whose way is blameless. Matthew 5 says that when you're angry, you go into a spiritual prison in whatever area you're angry, whoever you're angry at. And you know, some of you may be like me, I've been my worst enemy. I've been angry at myself more than I've been angry at somebody else. So we have to forgive ourselves, we have to forgive others. Matthew 18 says, when you don't forgive, you're turned over to the tormentors, which is demons and inflict pain. It's the pain of disease, inquisitor. And how do you forgive? As you forgive from the heart, Jesus said. If you're trying to forgive somebody and you say, I forgive so-and-so, and then maybe an hour later, a day later, 2 weeks later, a month later, you're still going, I can't believe they did this, it's a mom and dad issue. If you can quickly forgive, like Carla may say, Jerry, forgive me for saying this, and I say, what did you say? I didn't think nothing of it. But if it's something that sticks, it goes back to mother and daddy. And if it don't fit mother and daddy, it might fit grandma and grandpa. Come down to the generations. And so how I forgive is by dealing with heart issues. On the surface, I've forgiven. I've had people say, well, I've already forgiven my mother and daddy for everything. No, you haven't. I had great parents, and I'm still repenting of things, attitudes I had, and and I'm still forgiving them for things. Hardly a day goes by. Because they were human. They were the best human parents anybody could have, but they were human. How do I know I have a demon? It's if you have anger, either outward or internalized. It's going to, you know, you can internalize anger and it's going to come out somewhere. It'll come out in physical problems. Bitterness can come out in throat problems. Arthritis, if you have unforgiveness, if you have hurt, if you have fear, you need deliverance. If you're sick, you need deliverance. If you have eye problems, you need deliverance. If you get your buttons pushed, that's a sore place where you turn to an idol instead of turning to God. If you're a fainter, if you're legalistic, you think you have to do it yourself. You know, if you think that you've been trying to work on certain things, well, you know, there's a fleshly working on it, but sometimes we just need to be born again, and God's grace is there to see to it that I can obey Him. If you're in rebellion, or if you're stubbornness, or if you're bowing your neck, if you're depressed, discouraged, if you're not aligned with the Word of God in any area, if you're not seeing yourself the way God sees you. So give yourself to God and resist the devil, and the Bible says he'll flee. So stand up. Patty and I think have some books that I wrote on self-deliverance for the believer. You can deliver yourself. Norman Parrish has a book called Deliver Thyself. So stand up and ask the Lord to show you and let you know the truth that sets you free. Look at your problem areas and ask the Lord, what is He trying to teach you to bring you to repentance? Ask Him. God says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and upbraids not. Don't be like I've been most of my life. I ask God and then I say, did he say, did he tell me, did he not tell me, blah, 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 blah. That's like a ship driven of the wind and tossed. When you ask God, ask in faith and believe He's going to tell you. And you stand until He does it. You believe He's going to tell you. What the Lord has been telling me concerning my eyes, you're going to be okay. I've got things to teach you. Stay in the Word. And that's what I'm doing. And until He tells me something else, I'm going to stand. Amen. And say, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Let me know the truth, Lord, that sets me free. And then just deal with whatever. Take your problem areas. God, what are you trying to teach me? Where are you not aligned with the Word of God? Pray to the Lord, I forgive myself. I ask you to forgive me for claiming to be a believer and walking in rebellion. Lord, thank you for showing me the problem. Most of you were born outside of God's refuge. You pictured God's umbrella, an umbrella like Psalms 91. Most of us were born outside of the umbrella. And so, Lord, I forgive my parents that they weren't walking in covenant with you. And I was born outside of your umbrella. Lord, I ask you to bring your people under your authority now, in Jesus' name. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me that my ways have not pleased you. I want to explain something. When it dawned on me that maybe my ways wouldn't please the Lord, I was repentant of everything I knew of. But you see, there's always so many hidden things that we don't see. On the surface, we're totally repentant. But underneath, there's things we need to see. So there was things God was trying to show me, something back in my past He wasn't pleased about. So Lord, I want to please you. Thank you for showing me what you want to show me. I line myself up with your word. I submit to you. And in all these areas, I resist the devil and he has to flee. And Lord, that voice that talks to me, that unloving spirit that nitpicks me 24/7, that voice that I think is me, I renounce it. Forgive me for hating myself, being feeling no good, worthless. Forgive me for rejecting myself, self-contempt, self-hatred, and unforgiveness of self. I forgive myself. for all of my past failures. And Lord, thank you that you have a plan for my life. Thank you that you worked it out before the foundation of the world, and I need not fret about it because, Lord, I'm right yielded to you as much as I know how to be, and you pray that my faith would not fail. Thank you that you have begun a good work in me, and you will perform it into the day of the Lord Jesus. Thank you that I don't have to be afraid. I forgive my parents that were hard on me, that were raging and angry, and I was afraid of them. And I renounce the lie that God is an angry, mean God. And Lord, I loose on them the truth that sets them free, that God is a merciful God, He's a forgiving God, He's a loving God, but He's also a God of judgment. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Every demon power that came in through everything they've confessed has to go now in Jesus' name. I break your power. I command you to loose God's people in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. And I break the power of abortion coming down the bloodline that would cause people to have aborted efforts. I break that in Jesus' name. Praise you, God. I break the power of torment, unbelief, doubt, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, fear. I break the power of passivity, anxiety. I break the power of unbelief and doubt, lies and lying in Jesus' name. I break the power of grief and sadness and self-contempt and self-hatred. I break the power of antichrist spirits, bitterness towards self, anger towards self. I break the power of fruitlessness in Jesus' name. I break the power of every lying spirit that lies to us in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. I lose hope upon every person. I lose encouragement upon every person in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless the Lord. And Lord, we ask you to bless the food, purify it, and sanctify it. And bless the hands that make it. Bless Rick, everyone in the kitchen, Lord. Bless this camp in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.